The Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and get a 100% deposit match. And finally, we're also brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Here's Garnacho. Kelleher. And followed in by Scott McTominay. Less than 10 minutes in. And his first blood to Manchester United. His personal best goal-scoring season continues. Kwanzaa. Rashford didn't go with him. It's a superb run from Kwanzaa. Just behind Nunez. McAllister! All square. Alexis McAllister's fifth Liverpool goal to level it up. Deflected off Mainoo. That's what took it away from Onana. Where's Wan-Bissaka going here? Calmly into the feet of Fernandes, who's not fouled. Gomez went it back. Lindelof with the important header. Diaz. Nunez. Terrific stop. Salah. 2-1. Two goals in 3 minutes have stunned Old Trafford. Onana kept out Nunez. But then the parry went to Salah, who did the rest. Start trying to feed Nunez. He's found room for the shot, which is kept out by Onana. Now Garnacho. Anthony. Oh, he squeezed it in! The Brazilian with the equaliser. With less than 4 minutes to go. Just a second goal all season for the substitute. And it could be a priceless one. Gakpo. Onana's come to meet him. He's in no man's land. Elliot. And that's gone past Onana. Off the post. Diaz. And finally across the face of goal. And Elliot is offside. Look at this, Onana rooted. He can only watch. Eriksen. Rashford on the run. Rashford to win it! That was the semi-final. Bradley. Elliot deflected it in. Liverpool back in front. Harvey Elliott. Oh, it was Eriksen in his attempts to block it that went through the legs of Maguire. No chance for Onana. That's broken to McTominay. Rashford! He's found the back of the net that time. They won't go away, Manchester United. First it was Anthony in normal time. Now it's Rashford in extra time. Amad dispossesses Harvey Elliott. It's 2-on-1. It's Garnacho with Amad. Amad! With 10 seconds of extra time remaining. Scores just his second ever Manchester United goal to take Erik ten Hag's team into the FA Cup semi-finals. Amad has been shown the yellow card for taking his shirt off. He was already on a yellow card and he's sent off.
You are listening to Bet MUFC here on the Soccer Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. You can follow the Soccer Gambling Podcast on X at SGP Soccer. That's at SGP Soccer. You can follow BetMUFC at BetMUFC. That's at BetMUFC. You can follow the Sports Gambling Podcast Network at the SGP Network. That's at the SGP Network. And also at Gambling Podcast. That's at Gambling Podcast. SGPN is home to 20 plus gambling podcasts, and all of them are completely free. In honor of March Madness, this week's featured shows are the Sports Gambling Podcast flagship SGPN, hosted by Ryan Real Money Kramer and Sean Stacking the Money Green, where the guys have picked every tournament game against the spread since 2012. Now, I joined 2 years after that, and I'm coming up to a decade in May, and we're looking at 8 years of the Soccer Gambling Podcast. They've been picking games 2 years before that. And while we're talking about college basketball, of course, we have to mention the College Basketball Experience, where Colby Dant, aka Pick Dundee, Ryan Moneyline Mac, and producer Noah B continue their unmatched coverage of college basketball betting. Subscribe today to the Sports Gambling Podcast and the College Basketball Experience wherever you get your podcasts. Also, let me tell you guys to follow my other X account as well. That is at LockBangX. That's at LockBangX. You can follow that account for my sports betting opinions. You can follow it for some free play winners. And of course, the most significant reason is that's where I post my profit and loss P&L spreadsheet. Unlike most handicappers, especially on X, I'm tracked and transparent, and I have a record of 129, soon to be 130 months in a row of transparent and tracked profit. Every single one of my spreadsheets are available to look at. They're on the lockbetting.com website. It's also where you can sign up for my additional plays. And the pin tweet at the LockBetting X account, at LockBetting X, is always the P&L from the previous month. So if you just want to have a quick look, do some quick research, and I encourage you to do thorough due diligence, because this is fully transparent and it's verified by members' comments underneath every single spreadsheet. But if you want to just look quickly, the pin tweet at that account is the P&L from the previous month. That's the month of February. That was good for 27 units, which is £2,700, which converts to over $3,500. And that was aided by a huge UFC card and a huge Super Bowl card as well, UFC 298. And we smashed the Super Bowl, and we smashed the entire NFL season. If you look at the January P&L, you'll just see the futures on there, which were incredible. The Super Bowl card was incredible. It was an incredible, incomparable NFL season, and we look forward to the next one. If you have any questions, my DMs are open at LockBettingX. That's at LockBettingX. Now, obviously, I have plenty to say about the game against Liverpool. That was the best football match that I've ever witnessed live. We obviously still need to preview the game against Brentford at the end of the show, which goes down tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. But before all we do that, we're going to get the Erik ten Hag portion of the show in early. We've gone for a sit-down interview again this week. We've not gone for the media scrum. Whenever we can get the sit-down interview, we decide to go with that, because it's something different from the idiots from the media asking the same questions. And one of the things that we've continued to see is other managers being linked to Erik ten Hag's job. It started with Graham Potter, then it was Gareth Southgate, and now it's Gary O'Neill. I don't want any of those guys. Gary O'Neill was only recently sacked by Bournemouth and got the Wolves job at the last minute. Gareth Southgate has taken the best generation of players since the 2006 generation, which was Ferdinand, Terry, Ashley Cole, David Beckham, Wayne Rooney. These guys should have won a World Cup and didn't. And this current crop should win a World Cup. If you can't win a World Cup with Harry Kane, Bukayo Saka, Marcus Rashford, Jack Grealish, Jude Bellingham, Declan Rice, John Stones, then you're not fit to manage the English national team. And I mentioned on the Euro 2024 preview, the better managers are the club managers. The better managers are managing the Champions League. International football has actually stepped back. That's why Roberto Martinez can keep a job there, but couldn't keep a job in the Premier League. And I don't think that there are any top-level international managers, with the exception of maybe Nagelsmann, who I still think can manage a top-flight Champions League team. I think it's a step back. I don't think that any of the names being linked, especially Southgate, are comparable to Ten Hag, not Gary O'Neill, not Gareth Southgate, and certainly not Graham Potter. I think Ten Hag will be in the hot seat next season. I think finishing in the top six and getting to an FA Cup final will be just enough. Hopefully, we'll do better. I'm hoping to win the FA Cup. I'm hoping to finish in the top five, which currently does get you a Champions League position because of the way things have worked out with the seedings. And that's all I have to say on it. The managers being linked to the job are a joke. And I don't want a different manager. I believe in this manager who incredibly, against expectations, got us to third place last season and won a trophy. And now he's a victim of his own success, much like Eddie Howe at Newcastle is the victim of his own success. So let's have a listen to the manager that I want to keep, the man who masterminded a victory over Liverpool and that shitbag crybaby Jurgen Klopp. Let's have a listen to Erik ten Hag.
Erik, how was international break? Did you get some rest and did you maybe watch some of the international matches?
That last, definitely. We have to follow our players, how they are doing, if they feel comfortable, how are the levels, and if they keep fit. That is also very important for us. And also, yeah, we have some time also to relax, but also to plan to the near future. And we have big games coming up, important games coming up, so we have to be ready for that.
How proud were you to see Kobbie and Alejandro make their first international starts, and what did you think of their performances?
I think they did well, and we were proud, of course. Also because they are academy players, and so many members of Man United worked on their development, and they contribute to it. And by the end of the day, they did it by themselves. I'm very proud of them. But also for Manchester United, it's very important that we get again young players into our first team, but also they have level, and because they are belonging to the best players for their countries.
What's the team news? We saw Martinez training with Argentina, and how are the likes of Harry Maguire, Johnny Evans?
Yeah, they are returning. They are not 100% already. But tomorrow some will line up and will come up, and we need that. We have to bring them in the team because, yeah, by the end of the season, we are playing finals, so we want to play our strongest team. And yeah, we want to play the strongest team. You need the players in the strongest moment. And yeah, therefore, they have to work to go in those levels.
The game against Liverpool was one of the most dramatic United games ever. What do you want to see from that performance to take into Saturday's game?
First, the belief where we showed there, that we, but again, we can compete with the best teams in the world. And I have seen that game, Liverpool against Manchester City, the week before, and Liverpool was so good, and they overplayed Manchester City. And we went head-to-head with them. And by the end of the day, I think our willingness, desire and determination makes a difference. And yeah, I want to see that. First the belief, then the passion and willingness and determination. We have to express this in every game on the pitch. And we need that. And we can't deliver a bit less because we're playing only finals. And in finals, you need all the time those attributes.
The last time we played Brentford, there was big injury time drama at Old Trafford with those late McTominay goals. So what do you expect from our opponents this time?
It's a very strong team, and they have very good performances. They are very hard to beat, and yeah, so we need the attributes we spoke before. And when we don't give 100%, and you can't win there. So from the first moment on, we have to put everything in this game to get the win.
Just finally, it's a late kick-off on a Saturday night, Easter weekend. Our fans will be amazing as ever, but do you feel a bit for them having to return home at such a late hour?
I feel very sorry for them, and I don't think it's right. We are grateful that they are there. We know they will come with a lot and will be sold out in the area of Manchester United. So we have to give them the win. We have to give them the right performance and the win. And yeah, I feel sorry for them that it's difficult to travel back to Manchester.
Thanks, boss. Good luck.
So not a load that you can take from that, just pretty much what we would expect. But it's good to change it up, good to get away from that usual press conference rigmarole. Before I give my additional thoughts on Ten Hag and the Liverpool win and what it might mean for the rest of the season, and also we'll preview the trip to Brentford, let's take a quick pause to tell you guys about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T, that's Cut with a K, and use the promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. Let me also tell you guys about Underdog Fantasy, which is the easiest place to play fantasy sports, and it's also the fastest growing app in the entire industry. Sign up today with the promo code SGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or visit them in the App Store, and don't forget to register with the promo code SGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as that instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. If you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. So my thoughts on the win against Liverpool relate to Erik ten Hag, who, as I said, has been criticised. We've had managers constantly linked to the Man United job, managers who are no way worthy of being linked to the job and are not capable of handling the job. So we'd be taking on guaranteed failures with Potter, who failed at Chelsea, Gary O'Neill, who failed at Bournemouth of all places, and Areola has actually improved Bournemouth since they got rid of Gary O'Neill, and Gareth Southgate, who, in my opinion, has been a flop as the England manager. He's been gifted very, very simplistic paths to a semi-final in 2018, lost to Croatia, which England should have won, should have reached the World Cup final against France. A very, very simplistic path to the finals of the Euros, where we lost at Wembley Stadium to a very average Italy team by a penalty shootout. We were 1-0 up after 3 minutes, should have killed that game off and did not. In fact, we let Italy dominate us until they equalised. And then as soon as we reached the quarterfinals and came up against a decent team at the last World Cup, we were beaten by France. So Southgate, with 4 wins against top 10 teams in his last 26, he is not the right man for England, and he's certainly not the right man for Man United. The right man for United at the moment is Erik ten Hag. He will be in charge next season. United will get to an FA Cup final. Not sure if we'll win it, but we'll get to the final. And I do believe we will push Villa and Tottenham, as they will continue to drop points if we continue our current form, which no one's talking about. They're talking about how poor United have been this season, but we were missing a lot of players, and we've predominantly had most of our first team choices available in 2024, where we've actually only lost 2 games. We've won 8 of the last 10 recently. And we've also just come off a huge win against Liverpool. And the simple question I ask is, if this is a bad manager, then how does he beat Jurgen Klopp? How does he beat a pretty much full-strength Liverpool team? And how does he do it with players coming off injured, having to play the likes of Amard and Antony? And I'm not saying these are bad players. I'm saying that this is a guy who made the decision to bring those players on and to keep Rashford and Garnacho on the pitch. And Rashford hadn't been effective throughout the entire game. Garnacho, he had a good game, but obviously with the amount of effort that he'd put in, he was probably tiring towards the end of the game. When we made substitutions down to the injuries that we had to navigate around, you had Bruno Fernandes dropping in and playing as a centre-back. You had Antony at one point dropping in to play left back, and Erik ten Hag still managed to win this game against Jurgen Klopp. Now, they can complain about the fact that they were tired, But it's not our fucking fault that Jurgen Klopp decided to play a lot of his first team players in the second leg against Sparta Prague when it already destroyed him in the first leg. That's his problem. That's his poor man management. That's his poor management and decision making. They chose to do that. And there were no complaints from anybody when they were 2-1 up and it looked like Man United were going out with a whimper. Then Ten Hag got a goal from Antony, who needed a goal. And then we won the game in extra time, coming back from behind once again. And Marcus Rashford and Garnacho were key in that. And they were players that Ten Hag decided to keep on. Ten Hag was the one who masterminded a crazy formation that ended up winning that game. And the players don't win that game if they are not playing for the manager. So these entire stories, all of these stories about locker room unrest and players wanting a new manager and not playing for the badge and not playing for Ten Hag in particular and being annoyed with his training methods and this and that. I'm sorry, you don't play against Liverpool and win the game with the players that are on the pitch if you don't believe in the manager. You don't come back twice against Liverpool if you don't believe in the manager. And you don't do it in that formation, which I don't think anybody can accurately describe to me what formation Manchester United were playing at the end, who was playing in what position. I'm pretty certain that Bruno Fernandes was playing as a centre-back. That's one thing I'm sure of from being at the game. And I've never been in an atmosphere like that watching Manchester United, not for a very, very long time. And the fact that they can make that comeback, the fact that they've made multiple comebacks. If we look at the reverse game against Brentford, where Scott McTominay scored two late goals, there is something happening under this manager at Manchester United. He is managing to get something more out of the players. There is a different type of mentality. Yes, there are still players from a previous regime that aren't good enough to play for Man United. Perhaps maybe Ten Hag has signed players that aren't good enough. If you're looking at Onana and Antony, maybe he's guilty of signing a couple of duds himself. But the young players at Man United, when you look at Kobbie Mainoo, who was absolutely phenomenal in this game, I was surprised he was taken off. Because that was a man of the match performance from Kobbie Mainoo, and the supporters were not happy about that. But you can't argue with the fact that he'd made that decision, Ten Hag, and we still won the game. We won the game. We knocked out Liverpool. That's what happened. And we still have an opportunity to qualify for the Champions League, despite the fact we've been plagued with injuries throughout this season, and despite the fact that Forest and Aston Villa are overperforming. When you look at recent seasons, at teams that occupied fourth and fifth position, and maybe even third, these teams are overperforming. You have a team in third place that are challenging for the league. That doesn't usually happen. It's usually a two-horse race, whether it's been Liverpool v Arsenal Arsenal versus Man City, or Man City versus Liverpool. It's always been Man City. They've been the one constant. They've always only had one challenger. This is a genuine three-horse race this season, and Tottenham and Villa are currently overperforming with their points tally at this moment in time. But United are just 6 points away from Tottenham, and they're 9 points behind Villa with a game in hand. So essentially it's the same, and those teams are definitely catchable. And Manchester United do have enough winnable games to catch them. Obviously, this weekend away to Brentford is one of those games where you feel that Manchester United need to win. They then have Chelsea and Liverpool. Chelsea, for all the criticism they faced, is a difficult place to currently go to. They have won 5 of the last 6 at home. And then Liverpool travelling to Old Trafford. They'll definitely be looking for revenge. But after we navigate these next two games, Bournemouth away, despite the fact Bournemouth have been improved, that's a winnable game. The semi-final against Coventry, you'd expect Man United to reach another FA Cup final. Sheffield United and Burnley at home, they should be layups. Crystal Palace should be safe by that point. It's then a difficult game against Arsenal. And then we finish the season away to Brighton, who have absolutely nothing to play for. And we don't even know if Arsenal will have anything to play for by May the 11th. They could fade out of the title race by that point and just be occupying one of the Champions League places. So still plenty to play for Man United. but they have to win games like this one coming up at the weekend against Brentford. We'll look at that game in a second. Before we do that, let me take this quick pause to tell you guys about Hall of Fame Bets, where you need to stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hfbets.com and use the code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching and start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. So let's move on to looking at the game against Bournemouth. Against Brentford away. Now, this is a team who are not in the best run of form at the moment. In fact, their form is so poor, they could potentially be dragged into the relegation conversation. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they will end up getting out of it. But as things stand, and by the way, Thomas Frank is another manager who's been loosely linked to Man United. I'm sure that the media just make this stuff up for clicks. Different manager, different day. But as things stand, Brentford are 5 points away from the relegation zone. We don't know if that's going to actually be how things stand. Forest could get their points back. We know Everton got their points back. But they're 5 points away as we go into this game at the weekend. And things could get even closer if Brentford lose this game against United, which they probably should do based on the recent form of the two teams. United are the favourites to go here and win, but it's only at 6-4 plus 150, so it is closely priced, with Brentford as the narrow underdogs at 7-4, and it's 3-1 on the draw. I like United to win this game, and I'm going to take United in the draw no bet market, where the narrow favourites to win the game, so with the narrow favourites in the draw no bet market of 5-6 minus 120. Brentford have only picked up one win at home in 2024, and they'll need to pick up their second win for you to lose this bet. So this pushes if it's a draw, and you win if United win. As I mentioned earlier, despite the criticism that Ten Hag is getting, United have now won 8 of the last 10 in all competitions. The Bees, meanwhile, they have lost 5 of the last 6, and their poor form isn't really showing any signs of stopping. I don't see why it would suddenly stop here, just because the critics are very anti-Man United. Man United have been particularly good away from home recently as well. Don't forget how poor they were away from home last year. It was a home form carrying them. And they haven't been sensational overall away from home, but they have won 6 of the last 7 away from home in all competitions, including winning away to Nottingham Forest in the FA Cup in the last minute in round 5, which was a very good away day result. We've also recently picked up a win away to Aston Villa at Villa Park. Obviously, we didn't build on that because we immediately lost at home to Fulham. And Man United do now need to build some momentum between now and the end of the season. And things could end up very, very good for United. If we finish in fifth position and qualify for the Champions League and we win the FA Cup, I would argue that this is a better season than last season, because the FA Cup's a better trophy. And we did it after facing such adversity, so many injuries, so much controversy behind the scenes, which has to be a distraction. So I think this will be a phenomenal achievement for Ten Hag. I would just take the trophy. I would be delighted to win the FA Cup. Would rather not play Man City in a final. People just simply say it's a Man City, Man United final, but I don't necessarily agree with that. Because Man City have precisely no wins against Chelsea this season and have played them twice. So that FA Cup semi-final, I believe, will be far more competitive than people are giving Chelsea credit for. And if Man United aren't there, that would be a huge, huge blow if we somehow lose to Coventry. But I don't think that will be the case. And as for this particular game, circling back round to it, I'm going to take Manchester United as a pick. Man United in the draw no bet market at the price of 5-6 minus 120. That is your lean here for this one. That's it for me and this edition of BetMUFC. Good luck with all of your bets as always, guys. And thanks for listening.